This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called 40 Days in the Word. In these messages, Pastor Rick shares practical Bible study tools that will reignite your passion for God's Word and revolutionize your life as you grow closer to Jesus. First, we're excited to let you know that very generous friends of Daily Hope have stepped forward with a special $50,000 matching grant. That means any gift you give to help Daily Hope share God's Word with people everywhere will be doubled. So contact us right away. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called, Why Can I Trust the Bible?
You see, the one thing about truth is it never changes, but the one thing about science is it constantly changes. There's nothing more worthless than an obsolete science book. I guarantee you that the science book you had in the third grade is not being used in the third grade today. And a lot of things in that book are no longer believed or even taught. Nothing is more worthless than a five-year-old computer book. You can find them on any garage sale and nobody wants them. Because things get out of date so fast. They get out of date so fast. Science, things that we thought we believed, we now know more about it. And we go, oh, in fact, in medical science, it happens all the time. I had to go to a doctor this week and he was talking to me about a particular condition and I said, oh, well, then I assume we're gonna do this, this, and this. And he goes, oh, no, we don't believe that anymore. I said, you gotta be kidding me. Everybody knew that. No, we don't believe that anymore. And we don't use that medicine anymore. How many articles have you read that now say that something you thought was good for you now causes you cancer? Or stuff that they said it's fine for a pregnant woman to take and then 10 years later go, it's not fine. Science constantly changes. Do you know, if you've ever been to Paris, you've probably gone to the Louvre, the famous art museum and library, world-class library. Do you know that in the Louvre library, there's one section that has 3.5 miles of obsolete science books? 3.5 miles. Because stuff they thought was scientifically fact 1,500 years ago was disproven 1,000 years ago, and what we thought 1,000 years ago was disproven 750 years ago, and what we thought 25 years ago was proven 10 years ago, and what we thought 10 years ago is now changed to today. And if you had been reading the Bible 1,000 years ago or 700 years ago or 500 years ago, what the Bible says would not have matched the science of that day because it wasn't up to date. God understands stuff even when we don't, and his rules don't change. The Bible says this in Psalm 148, "Let every created thing," that's the whole universe, "give praise to the Lord, for he issued his command." God set these rules in motion, the laws of thermodynamics, the laws of physics. He issued his command, and they came into being, and he established them forever and ever, and his orders will never be revoked. The second law of thermodynamics doesn't work today and not work tomorrow. It always works because it was true and it was made by God. Truth doesn't change. You know, in 1861, there was a very famous book that came out called 51 Incontrovertible Proofs that the Bible is Scientifically Inaccurate. It's a very famous book. 51 incontrovertible scientific facts that we know, this is 1861, that the Bible does not agree with, and we know that the Bible is scientifically inaccurate. The only problem is today, 150 years later, you couldn't find a single scientist on the planet who would agree with any one of those incontrovertible facts. They have all been disproven by science. Truth does not change. Now, one of the proofs that we know that this book is not simply man-made, that this book came from God, that God directed men and women to talk and speak and write things down, and we know that it's the Word of God, is what's not in it. What's not in it? Because if this were a human book, you would expect it to be filled with scientific facts of the prevailing day. But they're not here. They're not in the book. For instance, For thousands and thousands of years, people believed the earth was flat. It wasn't until Copernicus and Galileo and Columbus that people realized the world's not flat, it's round, it's a sphere, it's a ball. And so you would expect the Bible to say the earth is flat because it was in existence and being written during those thousands of years when everybody thought the world was flat. Not a single verse in the Bible says the earth is flat. Not at all. In fact, it says the exact opposite. 2,600 years ago, God said this in the book of Isaiah 40, verse 22. God is enthroned above the sphere of the earth. 2,600 years ago, the Bible says the earth is round. The earth is a sphere. The earth is a globe. Long before anybody knew it. Everybody, when that was written, nobody believed it. But God said it, and it was true, whether anybody believed it or not. For thousands of years, people believed the earth had to be held up by something. And depending on the culture you were in, you got certain different beliefs on what held it up. For instance, if you were Greek, in Greek culture, you believed that the world was held up by a giant named Atlas. Okay? We all know who Atlas is, that Atlas held up the world. Now, part of the Bible's written in Greek. Atlas isn't in the Bible. Why? Because it's not true. So it's not in the Bible. You would expect that during that time, it would have somehow found its way into the Bible, but it's not there. For thousands of years, the Hindus believed that the earth sat on the back of giant elephants. And that when the elephants moved, that's what caused earthquakes. Now, they say, well, what did the elephants stand on? I'm not making this up. You can find it in any science or encyclopedia. They believed that the giant elephant stood on the back of a giant sea turtle. And the giant sea turtle stood on the back of a giant sea serpent who swam through a cosmic sea. Now, that was the prevailing attitude in the world for hundreds, if not thousands of years. It's not in the Bible, even though the Bible was being written during this time. Why? Because the Bible leaves out the lies. The Bible tells us that Moses was skilled and schooled in all of the wisdom of the ancient Egyptians. Because Moses was adopted as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So he went to the best schools in ancient Egypt and was taught what was the prevailing science of that day. Now, the Egyptians were flat out brilliant. They built the pyramids. They were masters at architecture, at engineering, at astronomy, at a number of things. But the ancient Egyptians were dead wrong on what held up the earth. Because ancient Egypt believed that the earth was held up by five pillars. Certainly, Moses was schooled in that science because he went to the best schools in the land as Pharaoh's grandson. And yet, not once in Scripture do you find the earth is held up by five pillars. Why? Because it's not true. And so it didn't make it into the Bible. The prevailing science of the day didn't make it there. In fact, the oldest known writing to man is likely the book of Job. It's the oldest literature in existence today that we know about. Job was the first book written in the Bible. The books of the Bible are not in chronological order. Job is the oldest book. And in Job 26, verse 7, the oldest known literature in the human race, it says this, God stretches the sky over empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. Who told Job? How did he know that? Everybody knows the earth is flat and it's on the back of pillars. It's not, why? Because the Bible only always tells the truth. I'm reinforcing this because I want you, it is sheer nonsense to say that the Bible is scientifically inaccurate. That means you just don't know the Bible. For instance, for years, it was the accepted science that there were about 1,000 stars in the universe and that they could be counted, that the number of stars were finite. In fact, 150 years BC, a guy named Hipparchus counted them. And he wrote a very famous dissertation, 150 years BC, saying that there are 1,022 stars in the universe. That's it. And it was accepted for a long, long time that there were only 1,022 stars in the universe. Yeah, but it doesn't say that in the Bible. 300 years later, 150 years BC, a guy named Ptolemy does it again. And he comes out and he says, that Hipparchus, that guy's a kook. He's a nut. There are 1,026. He found four more stars. Shoot, they found planets this year. I read an article just a couple weeks ago where a guy said the number of stars in the universe is infinite. It is widely accepted today that there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on the planet Earth. They cannot be counted. Now, we didn't know that. I mean, everybody accepted there are 1,026 stars. But 2,600 years ago in the Bible, God had said this, Jeremiah 33:22, the number of stars are infinite. Guess Ptolemy didn't read that one. Or anybody else for thousands of years. But it was there because it is the truth. It is always the truth. I mean, I could go into so many different areas, into biology and show you what the Bible says about biology, into chemistry and show you what the Bible says about chemistry, into medicine. You know, for many years, people believed that too much blood in your body made you sick. For thousands of years, this was an accepted custom, and they did what was called bloodletting. You know what I'm talking about? How that doctors would cut a sick person and bleed them, thinking that was going to make them healthy. That was accepted science. Everybody knew that was true. It wasn't, but everybody knew it was true science. And you cut the blood, and it was because of Hippocrates. And for 2,000 years since Hippocrates, they believed that all illness came from four bodily fluids: yellow bile, black bile, red blood, or blue phlegm. And it also those four fluids also controlled your temperament. Nobody believes that anymore. But for 2,000 years, that was scientific proof. And so people thought, well, you have to bleed people to get the bad stuff out. Many people don't know that our first president, George Washington, was killed by doctors bleeding him to death. That's how he died. George Washington had a heart problem, and doctors didn't know what to do, so they did the common science of the day, and they bled George Washington. He didn't get well, so a few days later, they bled him again. They cut him and bled him. He didn't get well, so a few days later, they bled him a third time, and he died from blood loss. Now, today, we know you give people blood when they're sick. It's the exact, we do the exact opposite of what they did for thousands of years. You give people blood because we know the life source is in the blood, and good blood makes people feel better, that's where the life comes from. It's called a transfusion. We give people blood today. But they didn't know that for thousands of years. But the Bible knew it. In fact, back in Leviticus 17, thousands and thousands of years ago, Leviticus 17:11, God said this: the life of every creature is in its blood. How did Moses know that?
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Pastor Rick says the Bible isn't meant to just inform us. It's meant to transform us. That's why it's so important to study God's Word. Maybe you've never studied the Bible and you don't even know where to start. Or maybe you read the Bible every day, but you're not getting all God has for you out of the time you spend with Him. That's why Pastor Rick created a very special Bible study called 40 Days in the Word. This life-changing resource will ignite your passion for God's Word and revolutionize your relationship with Jesus. The 40 Days in the Word study kit includes 6 video sessions on DVD and a 206-page, 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time. You'll also find interactive journaling pages and Bible verse cards with the 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. There's even a special section called How Can We Know the Bible Came from God? And a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word study kit to say thanks for your gift to help more people learn, love, and live God's Word through Daily Hope. By the way, right now when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, generous friends of Daily Hope are going to match your gift up to $50,000. But you only have till midnight on June 30th to make your gift go twice as far. Go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. And as a special thank you, we'll send you the 40 Days in the Word Bible Study Kit. Again, that's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004.
And now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the second half of today's lesson.
Leviticus 17:11, God said this, "The life of every creature is in its blood." How did Moses know that? That wasn't known for a thousand. We didn't even know that blood circulates until around 1650. It wasn't until the 17th century when William Harvey discovered that blood circulates. For thousands of years, nobody even thought it circulated. Everybody bought into Galen, who was the Greek doctor, for 2,000 years, accepted his idea, basically, that the heart was the source of heat, but nobody knew it actually pumped blood. And yet, thousands of years ago, the Bible says, the life of every creature is in its blood. They should have just read the Bible. During the Middle Ages, there was the bubonic plague. The bubonic plague killed 1/4 of Europe. 1 out of every 4 people died during the Black Plague because we didn't understand germs. And we didn't understand contagion. And we didn't understand infection. And we didn't understand quarantining people. And so they had sick people with the bubonic plague who were contagious sleeping right next to healthy people, and people just kept dying. Because we didn't know about germs and contagion, and it became an epidemic and then a pandemic. I should have read the Bible, because thousands and thousands of years before the bubonic plague, God had said in Leviticus 13, verse 4, this, put an infected person in quarantine for 7 days. That's thousands of years before we even knew what germs were. God was saying, here's how you take care of people who get infected with an illness. You put them outside the camp for 7 days. And if they're still sick, he says in the next verse, keep them out there for another 7 days. Nobody understood quarantine because nobody understood germs. But God was right. I could go on and on. The Bible is always scientifically accurate. It is always ahead of science. The Bible says this, Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is flawless. Mine aren't, yours aren't, human beings aren't, but every word of God is flawless. In fact, it's not only flawless. Psalm 12:6 says this, the words of the Lord are flawless like silver refined in a furnace of clay and purified 7 times. It's like, is that the right word? Is that the right word? Is it purified 7 times? My wife, Kay, wishes I'd speak like that. Because, see, often my mouth gets in gear before my mind gets engaged, and I say words that are flawed. But God's word is flawless. We know we can trust the Bible because it is historically accurate. Archaeology confirms it. And it is scientifically accurate. Number 3, we know we can trust the Bible because it is prophetically accurate. It is prophetically accurate. What does that mean? It means that the promises and the predictions in the Bible always come true. Now, the Bible is filled with literally thousands and thousands of prophecies where God says, this is going to happen at such and such a time in such and such a way. And over all of the centuries, thousands of these prophecies have already been fulfilled, every one of them exactly as God said. And some of them are still yet to be fulfilled. You know, there are over 300 prophecies in the Bible about Jesus, the Messiah, up to 1,000 years before he was born. And over a 1,000-year period, 300 prophecies said things like, this is when he'll be born, this is where he'll be born, this is how he'll be born. You can't control that if you're trying to make yourself the Messiah. You didn't choose where you were born. This is how he'll die and the manner he'll die and what he'll die from. And all of the, over 300 prophecies. What are the odds of me making 300 predictions about you and every one of them coming true? The odds are so astronomical, you couldn't write that number down. You see, it takes more faith to believe it all just was a coincidence than to believe that God planned it. It takes an enormous faith to believe it's all just random. That it all just happened without a designer, without a creator. 1,000 years before Jesus came and died on the cross, David, in one of his Psalms, describes what death by crucifixion is like. Now, he doesn't use the word crucifixion because nobody even knew that word. But 1,000 years before the Romans are even thinking of crucifixion, David describes what the death on a crucifixion is like. How did he know that? Only God could have told him. Look at these verses. The Bible says in 2 Peter, no prophecy ever originated from humans. In other words, guys didn't just sit around and go, hey, let's think this one up. Write it down.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. Did you know you can start every day with hope and encouragement from Pastor Rick? Well, you can. When you sign up to receive his life-changing Bible teaching delivered directly to your inbox, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up for his free Daily Hope devotional. Don't miss out. Sign up now at PastorRick.com. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, we have some really exciting news. Generous friends of Daily Hope have offered a $50,000 matching grant. That means whatever amount you give to help share the hope of Jesus worldwide will be matched, up to $50,000. So $25 becomes $50, $100 becomes $200, and $500 becomes $1,000. Whatever amount you give will be doubled by the grant. But don't wait, because this opportunity will be gone at the end of this month. And we'll miss out on any amount left over from the grant if not matched. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. Now, you know, I don't take any funds from this broadcast. We don't have any giant million-dollar donor who's giving big gifts to this. It comes from donations from listeners like you. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
When you give a gift to Daily Hope, you're helping share the hope of Jesus with people everywhere. And right now, your gift will be doubled by the $50,000 matching grant. Call 800-600-5004. Or you can visit PastorRick.com, and we'll send you Pastor Rick's 40 Days in the Word study kit to say thanks. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Please be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.